Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org. Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. A little while ago, I don't know, a month or two ago, the Catholic radio station here in San Diego had their 10th anniversary, and they wanted a big-time speaker, a really big-time speaker. So they called me up, and they said, hey, could you introduce Dr. Ray Guarendi? I was like, oh, okay, I see my role here. I'm the guy that introduces the big-time speaker. And boy, did he bring it. Dr. Ray Guarendi is our guest this hour. He's got a brand new drama-free discipline book that he's out. The book is called Drama-Free Discipline. Dr. Ray coaches you to parenting success. Dr. Ray Guarendi, thank you very much for being here with us.
I appreciate, Cy, that you got the Frisbees and the beach balls going before I got up there.
Yeah, that was good. That was my role. They didn't give me a t-shirt gun. I couldn't shoot t-shirts out into the audience, but I was your hype man. That's what I was. I was your hype man.
I got to say this, though, for your listeners, you're a tremendous MC. You're very good.
Oh, that's nice of you to say. Thank you very much. Thank you.
I see why they picked you. Apart that and the fact you probably didn't charge them either.
Well, that's the thing is when you live here in the town with them and they're like, will you show up? And it's like, you can't really name a number. You just go, all right, I'll show up. But so Raul, they do give me dates though. I got, and now people are going to be like, oh, they give you dates. What is it? No, dates like that grow on a tree out in the desert. That's where it was, out in the desert. And I got some of the most delicious dates in the world. So did you have any of those dates while you were out there?
They were phenomenal.
It was crazy.
I never tasted dates. I thought, I didn't know what they were, but they were impressive.
Yeah.
Very impressive.
Yep. It's one of the top five reasons to go to the desert, and no one can remember the other four. So that. tell me about the new book, Drama-Free Discipline. What's this all about?
I had a lady walk into my office many years ago. She was a PhD clinical psychologist. She had a five-year-old who was eating her lunch. So as I described to her some things she could do to get this kid under better control, she said, do you think you could come to my house and sit in my living room and watch me? I said, I suppose I could do that. So I did. And that was the germ of the idea for this book. The book is 18 of the most common discipline scenarios, and they're scripts, Cy. They're actual movie-like scripts. Parent, kid, 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 grandparent, parent, parent, parent. And I step into the scene at critical points to either coach them out of trouble or to make an observation. I might say something like, do you see what he did just there? Do you know what he wanted you to do? He wanted you to say exactly what you're saying. What if you said this? And it's that kind of interchange.
Yes. So you can really get it. Why is there so much drama in disciplining children? It's no one would argue, here's a book. That's a problem that no one needs to solve. We all know this. There's just tremendous drama in disciplining children.
Several causes. First of all, when you use the word discipline, most parents talk a lot more than they discipline. Okay. When it's time to discipline, the fewer the words, the better. You start adding more and more words. You neglect to remind. You raise your voice. You repeat yourself. You negotiate. You threaten. All that's drama. It's all drama. And it'll get ugly real fast. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. You know, the average parent is not going to say, excuse me, Cy. I have been nagging you for about 27 minutes, and I'm afraid that if I continue to talk, I might raise my voice. I'm feeling anger pangs. The average parent wants to shoot you with a bazooka after about the first 16 minutes of this.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the first thing. Too many words. Second thing with drama, the kids are going to try to come back. I mean, they Kids don't like discipline. Who likes discipline? Nobody likes discipline.
Right.
They might realize it's good for you, but you don't like it when it's happening. You don't say, hey, Mom, you know, I got some free time. Why don't I just go stand in the corner for a while? I think I need to get in touch with my inner child. That's not going to happen. So when they don't like discipline, they resist. When they resist, the parent sometimes gets flummoxed. What do? He's come out of the corner 27 times. He refuses to write the essay. He won't stay in bed. He's tormenting his sister, and I've warned him 9 times. All of that leads to drama. Another piece in the drama picture. You let it go on too long. He's been basically tormenting his sister for the last 14 minutes.
Right.
You've warned him 26 times.
Yeah.
Leave her alone. She's not bothering you. Why don't you just go into the other room? I'm not telling you again. Just stop it. You know, one of these days she's going to be 15 and she's going to have cute girlfriends. And they're going to say, you don't want to be around my brother. He's a jerk. All right. So we do all of this. And then finally, when we've had enough, we erupt. And then, Si, we go to confession. And we say, bless me, Father. Before I had children, I was pretty nice. Now I'm not pretty or nice. And I just want to know, is it a serious sin to think about shooting your kid with a bazooka? I don't know. Would that be objectively a sin?
Yeah. Well, how much of this involves, I have to admit, not one of my strengths, consistency.
The average parent is not very consistent, and usually that's good enough.
Okay.
Let me illustrate.
Yeah.
Let's say that he comes in, he throws his coat on the floor. Nothing. That's not a big offense. It's just some minor little thing. If you tell him to pick it up 3 times, I told you, get your coat, put it away. And he continues to do whatever he's doing. Did you get your coat yet? Where does your coat go? You do that 3 times, you're down to 25% consistency. That quick. Most of us, the kids know what our consistency percentage is. They know. They live with us. They know when we're going to react, when we're going to do something about it. But before we do, we just kind of chip away at our consistency. A quality as important to discipline as consistency is perseverance. Parents will say to me, I've tried everything with this child. Nothing works. Finally, I got so frustrated, I sent him next door to play, and I moved the family while he was gone. Now, along the way, we didn't persevere. We just said, nothing works. Nothing works. Yeah. I go, how long did you try it? I tried it 12 times. I got a question for you. Do you still go to confession? Yes. Do you confess the same sins you've been confessing for the last 35 years? Yes. So how come you're allowed to take 35 years to conquer a sin, but if a kid, after going to the corner 9 times for tormenting his sister, we go, what is wrong with him? When is he going to learn?
Oh, yeah. We act like the whole thing is a failure when what has really happened is we have not pursued it long enough. We haven't gotten to the point where it's a habit now.
Here's what I tell parents. Your discipline works the instant you do it. You teach a lesson. If you do A, B is the result. Now, will that change the conduct? That's a completely different question. Some kids, it'll change the conduct after 3 consequences. Other kids, after 72, they say, I'm starting to think there's some kind of link here. I'm going to have to think about this another 72 times.
Yeah. So... You don't get a choice in which kind of kid you get. You just get a choice in whether you're going to stick with it.
Well, the problem is, this is really bad for parents. Parents will say, you know, what's something that can ruin my parenting? Well, have a sweet kid first. If you have a sweet kid first, it ruins you. You think you're God's gift to parenting. You think, well, I don't have these problems. Discipline? Oh, yes, I sent her to bed twice, and I've never seen the problem before. And she wrote a thank you note in triplicate, laid it on my bed with 3 little mints after she made the bed for me. And then the second kid comes along, Cujo, who is normal. He's normal. He takes a lot of discipline. And you think something's wrong with him. Our first child wasn't like this. And I say your first child was not normal. Your first child was a mulligan round from God.
Right.
Play with this. I'll save the real kid till later.
Dr. Ray Guarendi is our guest. If you've got questions on your own parenting, maybe you want to fix someone else's parenting, good luck with that. But you can ask. You're welcome to ask. Just call 888-318-7884. The book is Drama-Free Discipline. Dr. Ray coaches you to parenting success. This is the one you need. And if you want to call, you can call, but definitely get the book, Drama-Free Discipline, the new book from Dr. Ray Guarendi. Our number, 888-318-7884.
Your questions, Catholic Answers, live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
EWTN has launched new YouTube channels dedicated to what you love most. From EWTN News, Daily Mass and Devotions, EWTN Shows, Radio, Religious Catalog, and Kids, it's all part of our mission to help you grow closer to God through the programs that matter most to you. Visit our main YouTube channel and explore the new navigation bar and subscribe to the channels that speak to your heart. Wherever you are on your journey of faith, there's an EWTN YouTube channel made for you.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. Dr. Ray Guarendi, our guest. We always know we're going to have fun, and it's going to be helpful fun. And that's kind of that would describe this book, Drama-Free Discipline. You will enjoy reading the book, but I challenge you to read it all the way through and not be a better parent. I challenge you to that. Drama-Free Discipline. Dr. Ray coaches you to parenting success. Out now. Let me give you a couple of problems that people have. And one of them, I do see this with parents. And I don't know, I don't recall falling into this one myself. I will admit to you the ones that I'm not so good at. But the endless countdowns, the getting closer to zero, and still nothing has happened. And it just, to me, it builds this intense anxiety in me when I watch someone else doing it. Like, oh Lord, what's going to happen when we get to zero? I can't watch this. Can you help me with the countdowns, the parenting countdowns?
There are two types, Cy. One is the standard American count, which is 1, 2, 3. And then there's the metric alternative, which is 1 through 10. Okay.
Yeah.
The problem with a count is this. It sends a message I think you don't want to send, which is, I made a request of you, or in fact, I have a directive. And you don't have to listen until I start counting.
Oh, yeah.
When I start counting, then that tells you I'm serious.
Right.
Is that really what you want to convey to a child? You want the child to think, no, I'm serious when I ask nice. I don't want to have to go 1, 2. The other problem with countdowns is most little kids, and that's where the count is most prominent, they don't start moving until you approach 3. And then they meander. As long as they figure they're in motion while you're saying 3, yeah. You can't do anything about it. But if you actually counted how long it took for them to cooperate, it would be a 7 or an 8.
Yeah.
And I tell parents, a countdown is what I call an addenda. Here's an addenda. Would you, honey, we're going to leave now. Grab your shoes. Now. We're gonna go. Okay? By the way, okay is asked all the time by parents. It's even asked, if you watch any cop show, you will see cops. Sir, can I see your license? Okay. We want to ask you some questions, okay? You got cops asking if it's okay.
Right.
You're not asking a child if it's okay. Because if he were being straight with you, he'd say, no, I don't think it's okay. I'd rather not.
I'm not interested in that. No, thank you.
But these are the things we add to the end of our requests, either to sound nicer, like okay or all right, or to sound like we mean it. I said, I mean it. Did you hear me? We add these things. And all they are is just another way of saying, I wasn't serious the first time. Now I got to add something to it to tell you I'm serious.
So are do I have options? Do I have things that I can do instead of the infamous countdown?
Sure. You can say, if you wish, you could say, you know, I asked you nice. Now, if I ask you again, and then you say, what's going to happen? If I ask you again, you're going to go sit down. Or if I ask you again, I'm going to give you some more chores.
Right.
For example, had a kid at our house the other night. And his dad said, eat your Hershey's Kiss at the table.
Okay.
Well, he got up and he took the Kiss into the living room. Now, chocolate is not a good match for furniture or walls. So dad said, what did I tell you? Now get back here and eat your chocolate at the table. Which he did, that particular piece of chocolate. He went and got another piece of chocolate, waited for dad not to notice, and got up again. Now, what could you have done instead? I would have said, you know, honey, if you leave the table, your chocolate's done.
Yeah.
There will be no more chocolate at all.
Right.
That's it. I just I don't want to yell at you. I don't want to scream at you. I don't want to remind you 26 times because when I get to 26, I'm going to be yelling. I don't want to yell.
Right.
Which is, by the way, what dad did. He was, I told you, do not get in here. See, that's not discipline. That's just loud. That's all it is. It's loud and emotional. It's not discipline. But parents think it is.
Right. Right.
They'll say things like this, Si. They come into my office. They'll say, I am on him all the time.
Wow.
And he's not getting any better. And what they mean is that they're nagging him, or they're repeating themselves, or they're baiting with him, or they're re-reminding him. They're on him with words. They're not disciplining him. He's not stupid. If he knew that if he mistreated his sister, it was an automatic 1 hour in your room every time. If he knew that, he's not stupid. He's not going to keep mistreating his sister, not at the same frequency anyway.
Right, right. Let's take some calls. Let's start with Mark in Maryland watching on YouTube. Mark, thank you for your call. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Ray Guarendi.
Hey. Hi, Dr. Ray. I was just, this is a question I had because I've seen some clips of you talking with Lyle Rose and also on the Catholic Match site, even though I haven't seen the full interview. So obviously, like, these are snippets I might not have seen the full context for. But one of the things I've noticed is that in some of the talks, some of the terms gentle parenting has come up. And one of the things I always find like sort of complex about that topic of gentle parenting is that with so many different people, like so many people have vastly different definitions of that to the point where like it doesn't have a consistent meaning and how that can, I imagine that can pose a challenge because in some cases, for example, like some people's idea of gentle parenting is basically having little to no rules or enforcement to the point where it can get conflated with permissive parenting, which obviously that's a big problem. But also in other cases, when some people evoke gentle parenting, they do emphasize the need for authoritativeness and boundaries and all that. And also that in the same way that how, I guess, Jesus could be considered gentle, even though he was compassionate and merciful, but he still knew when to be firm when it needed to be done, and he was still willing to call things out. So, and the reason why some people in those contexts say gentle parenting is that they mean that as an antidote for some of the very extreme, like authoritarian parenting where they treat like small children as like being like not having, like requiring instant compliance at all time or using very harsh disciplinary methods, like such as when like some of the fundamentalist communities that seem to like idolize corporal punishment in the Bible's name and so on. So I was just wondering like whether or not like with, in that case, then, when you talk about gentle parenting, like, and how it can mean so many different things, I was just wondering how, what kinds of advice would you have to, like, navigate all these different things, or how would you, like, try to define that when you talk about it in your context?
Gentle parenting is a broad umbrella. One thing you can know about all the different types of gentle parenting is that, for the most part, they don't work. And the reason they don't work is they're based on a flawed premise. And that premise is that children are naturally cooperative and they want to do what you'd like them to do. And you just have to be psychologically correct about it, communicate in the right ways, use the right words, use the right sticker systems, set up the right win-win scenarios, and the child will just respond cooperatively. I am fond of saying that gentle parenting for most parents, not all, sometimes it works with some kids. Nothing doesn't work with any kid. Okay.
Yeah.
Gentle parenting can make most parents mean. Because when you get frustrated because it doesn't work, because it's based on a flawed premise that you can negotiate and talk a child into cooperating, when that doesn't happen, a child is not something easy like a rabid Bengal tiger or a wounded timber wolf. A child's tougher than that. I'm facetious. Okay. But that said, when the child resists, the parent tries more gentle parenting, which leads to a cycle of frustration on the parent's part. Hey, gentle parenting is great business for me in my office, that's for sure.
Oh, I don't think we're Mark's there, but it's somehow we're not getting you, Mark. I know you had a response, but it is not coming through to us. So I'll just say thank you very much for the question. Dr. Ray Guarendi
Was I
is.
gentle enough?
I thought
Sorry, was I gentle enough in
gentler
my
than a Bengal tiger or a wounded wolverine, definitely.
rabid Bengal
Oh,
tiger?
rabbit. I
Sorry.
apologize. I'm sorry. Drama.
Okay.
Free discipline. That sounds awful good to a lot of parents. Well, Dr. Ray will help you do it. He coaches you to parenting success in his new book. The number here is 888-318-7884. If you would like to call and ask your question, 888-318-7884. Okay, I had a little rivalry between two of my kids at one point, and I think actually looking back on it, it really hurt one of my kids. I wish I'd been better about it. How could I have handled sibling rivalry better?
That is a term that the shrinks use.
Okay.
Sibling rivalry kind of implies that this is a very natural thing to happen. It's kind of innate. There's going to be this sort of tension and this competition and this rivalry between these kids. I think the better term is sibling quibbling. You have two or more partially socialized, partially moralized human beings that are pretty much self-absorbed, fallen sin nature, and they try to get along under the same roof. And there's going to be tussles, there's going to be contention. Sibling quibbling, Sai, as you probably notice, is a very high frequency behavior.
Yeah.
It happens a lot. And anytime you have a high frequency behavior, discipline gets inconsistent because you're thinking, well, if I disciplined him for every time he mistreated his sister, he'd be in the corner the rest of his life. That's not true. Consistent discipline leads to less discipline. So, first point is this. What is your expectation about how you treat a sibling? Now, in our own home, we had 10 children under age 12. And if you know your mathematical permutations,
Oh, my Lord.
the combination of possible sibling brawls are somewhere in the millions,
Yeah.
well into the millions.
Right.
So our rule was you cannot mistreat a sibling in any way. Name calling, taunting, tormenting, doing things like kicking over blocks, making fun of them when you're 13 years old, whatever it is, you cannot do it. If we catch you, of course, they're very sneaky, you can't catch them all the time, we will respond to it. There will be consequences. There will be consequences. Whatever we decide at the time, maybe it's you're going to write 25 nice things about your brother. Maybe you're going to go lay on your bed for the next half an hour. Maybe your brother now gets the game and you've just lost it for the day. I don't know what I choose, but I'm going to choose something
Yeah.
because you're not allowed to mistreat your brother. Now, fortunately, kids are not foolish. They know with predictability, if something's going to happen like that, they're much less likely to mistreat a sibling. Now, here's what happens, and this sometimes happens among very faith-filled Catholic parents. They'll say this: I want to teach my child virtue. That's not teaching him virtue. That's just stopping him from hurting someone. I'll say, yes, because you must stop the bad behavior before you can teach virtue. It's very difficult to teach treating a sibling kind if he gets away with mistreating a sibling.
Right.
That is the course of least resistance. So yeah, you do both. You don't allow the mistreatment and you talk about treatment well. But here's another point about that. Parents will say, well, do I have to explain to him every time he mistreats his sister? No. No, you don't. Because he knows he's not supposed to. Mm-hmm. This is not rocket science here. You know, you've been living with your sister for 9 years. You know you're not allowed to mistreat her. I don't have to say, now, why do you think it's wrong to mistreat your sister?
Yeah.
Do you think, would you like it if your sister did that to you? When you get older, you know, you're going to have to learn these kinds of self-control. You could do that forever. And you know what the kid's thinking? He's Charlie Brown. Wah, 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 wah.
I am going to come back to you, and I'm going to go back to callers, but I want to come back to you with the greatest legal argument I have ever heard, and that is, but she started it. I want you to give me the answer to that when we come back right after this. Dr. Ray Guarendi, our guest on Catholic Answers Live.
Why do Catholics pray to dead people?
Bow to statues, you did.
Venerate relics.
Come on, please. Keep my analogies correct.
In the delightful book, The Saints Pray for You, Dr. Carlo Broussard convincingly defends the ancient Christian belief rooted in Scripture that the saints
it was minus one.
They are allies. Order your copy of The Saints Pray for You today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic store.
It's colder than normal. Normally, right now, the highs are about 25 to 30.
Infancy.
Normal.
In a word, Catholic. And Joe
has dead a winner. This is January.
In his best-selling book, The Early Church Was...
You will love it in Ohio, I am telling you. You know what I paid for gas this morning? $2.14.
Christianity. Right now, get a copy for just $10, plus free shipping if you live in the continental United States. Get more information...
My duplex.
Early Church.
I own a duplex, and it is two bedrooms, family room, garage, half-acre lot, full house air conditioning. Do you know what I rent it for?
They didn't recognize him until the breaking of the bread. The same is true today. In the Holy Eucharist, we really meet Jesus.
Yes,
in
that's
Eucharist
right.
In the Eucharist is really Jesus, author Joe Heschmeyer explains how knowing Jesus in the Eucharist is the key to understanding
my house is 2,400 square feet.
Order your copy
it's
of
all
the
brick.
Is really
it sits
Jesus
on an acre lot.
At
it is four bedrooms,
or get
three
at
bathrooms.
A good Catholic bookstore
it's
near
probably
you.
Worth $375, maybe four.
Some Catholics have been among the worst kind of villains, right? Or were they? In Canceled, historian Steve Weidenkopf digs into the lives and controversies of some of these Catholics.
They got their own beauty.
Whose reputations have been blackened, often unfairly. He takes on the anti-Catholic versions of history and defends not only these figures, but the faith they represent. Order your copy of Canceled today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Dr. Ray Guarendi, our guest. I'm always impressed with the things that just slip in, that it's like it's easy to deal with a rabid Bengal tiger. It's tough to deal with a kid. So let's get back to the new book is Drama Free Discipline. It's Dr. Ray coaches you to parenting success. And I get what you just said about consequences every time. Look, you're just not allowed to mistreat a sibling. But then why did God create this reality that every child is a natural born lawyer? He gave it it's like they go to law school in their diapers. She started it. You can't punish me. She started it.
They have one case to plead.
Yeah.
Their own.
Oh, that's true.
You have to run a household. You have other children.
Right.
You have a spouse sometimes,
or more
often than not. You have a job. What's their concern? I got to get out of this.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't want the verdict that's about to befall me. So they immediately go into negotiation mode. Well, wait, okay. No, I was just sitting there. I was just sitting there, and he came in, and he was looking at me the whole time. And I asked him, I told him, quit looking at me, quit looking at me. But he wouldn't. He deliberately looked at me. Mom, you didn't see it, but he did. And that's why I did what I did. It's just go on to negotiation mode. The other thing they do is it's called appealing the decision. Mom, Dad said it was okay with him if it's okay with you. Now, I didn't even ask Dad. It's like, I just want to get out of the house before you find out that Dad didn't say any such thing.
Yeah.
Or if Dad said no, you try Mom. Mom, Dad, I don't think Dad wants me to go, but I wanted to ask you, see what you thought, if it was okay. It's like, okay, what do I got to lose?
Yeah,
right. I already got to know.
That's a good point. What do I got to lose? Let me take another shot. It's judge shopping. That's what they're doing. They're judge shopping.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, we're going back to the phones. Candace is in Lubbock, Texas. Candace, thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your question.
Hi, Dr. Ray.
Candace.
We have six kids, and our fifth is almost three, and she has been our biggest challenge yet. So she is, we are really trying to be consistent with our discipline with her, but she is one that is going to push every button there is and also push it to the extreme. We have a four-year-old just above her, and she has his number and picks and prods at him like none other. And he just basically lays down and has to take it, and then he cries every time. And we discipline her and we send her to timeout, and we will take things away from her. But she's a very matter-of-fact toddler where, like, for instance, we have thrown away her favorite toy several steps in, but we threw that away. And she got out of timeout, and she said, yeah, I had to throw that toy away. So now the garbage man is going to take it. And that was it. Like, she never blinked at it, never cried about it or anything. And so my question is, how do you get through to a toddler who understands some reasoning, but not a whole lot of reasoning, and is just going to keep pushing back?
Candace, you bring up so many points. Let me do a little bit of a bullet point response. One, if you have six children, the odds are very high you're going to throw a bad pup. Now, that said, and again, I'm not trivializing your sweet little girl. I'm just being facetious. But the odds are you're going to get a tougher one. That's just the way it is. That's the odds. Okay, that's one. Two, she's only three. You cannot say at this point your discipline is not working, because I have a question for you. Can you imagine what she'd be like if you didn't do this? So when you say discipline isn't working, you don't know it's not working because you don't know how bad she'd be if you didn't do it. That's two. Three. She's only three. She may have to be five, six, or seven before she finally realizes, you know, some of the stuff I've been doing just ain't worth it. Four. You took her favorite toy and she looked at it like, yeah, whatever. Now, much of the time when kids do that, it's because they have too much. You took my favorite toy, but I got 72 others. Okay, that's one. Now, if that's not the case with her, she's basically saying, whatever. Because parents think she didn't care. We did. We fired off a nuclear consequence, and she didn't care. It doesn't bother her. Well, yeah, it does. Because Candace, did she ever come to you and say, here, Mom, here's my doll, the one that I love the most. Why don't you just throw it away? Okay, no, she didn't want you to throw it away. But she was just kind of like, whatever, I can handle this. Okay, no problem. Parents will say to me, I'll send her to the corner. Last week, she went to the corner 18 times. Didn't bother her. She sings in the corner. She does. She sings in the corner. Okay, so I sent her 18 times. First 18 didn't bother her. 19 through 36, she stopped singing. 37 through 58, it's like, you know, this corner's getting to be a drag. And 59 through 74 is like, okay, no mas. I don't want to go to the corner anymore. Some kids just take longer. And you say, how do you get through to her? Candace, do you have a dog?
Yes.
Okay. Did you wait until your dog understood not to pee in your house before you trained your dog not to pee in your house? Is your three-year-old smarter than a dog?
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
So you don't really have to worry about her understanding it. You're basically setting some groundwork. It's, you can't do that, honey. And when you do that, you're going to sit on the steps, or you're going to go to the corner, or you're going to lay in your bed, whatever it is. And I know it doesn't bother you, but I'm not going to upset myself over the fact that you do this. You got six kids, you're going to have a tough one. That's the law of averages.
Yeah.
And by the way, just a warning, please do not do this. Do not call her, and I know you already have, so you confess it next time you go to confession. Do not call her strong-willed. Don't. She is stronger-willed than her siblings. But fallen human nature says pretty much we're all strong-willed.
Okay.
Okay, Candace?
Okay. So what would you do if, let's just say, a specific instance where the whole table thing, so we don't allow the kids to get up from the table or they're done eating. So she's done eating because she's gotten up from the table multiple times, and she knows that's the rule. So we do take the food away at that point, or we take her plate away. What do you do then whenever that becomes an issue with bedtime?
We have a simple rule.
Bedtime?
We have a very simple rule. If you get up before you're done eating, or if you're done eating and you get up without permission, you'll be in the corner. You're not going to get up six times before I finally take your food. You do it once and you're in the corner. Now, is this mean? No, it's not. The reason it's not mean is because you're doing it before you get angry, before you get frustrated. That's when you get mean. You're just telling her, honey, if you get up, you're in the corner. So you got a choice. Yeah. Choice is sit at the table or stand in the corner. End of story.
And we do that, but then it affects, basically she wakes up extremely early, and we live in a small house, so we have three kids in each bedroom. And then she wakes up her siblings every morning because she's probably, I'm assuming she's hungry because she missed her supper last night because she got up 5 minutes.
Okay, in. You see what you're doing? You're basically saying, I can't do that because here's the complication. You deal with the complication. In other words, you tell her, if you wake your siblings up, you're going to come downstairs and you're going to sit on the couch. You're not allowed to wake your siblings up. Now, she's only three, so it's going to take a while for this to register.
But
that's what you do. You don't say, well, if we did that, then she'll sabotage us this way. That's why a lot of parents don't discipline, because they call it escalation. If I do that, it's going to get worse. No, at some point you have to say, I'm going to deal with the escalation. You wake up your siblings, I come in and I bring you down and I sit you on the couch.
That's kind of where we're at.
Hey, you know what I was thinking, Candace? Think about this, honey. You probably didn't think about this. This is something you might want to consider. Maybe she's getting up because she thinks you're not a very good cook.
I'll let my husband do the cooking next time.
That sounds like a good solution. Candace, thank you very much. Appreciate the call.
Thank you.
All right. Drama-free discipline. Dr. Ray coaches you to parenting success is the new book from Dr. Ray Guarendi. You are welcome to call with your questions. We have to take a very quick break, but we do have lines open. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. Right back with more of your questions on drama-free discipline for Dr. Ray Guarendi on Catholic Answers Live.
Hang on. Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment.
In Morse code, the sequence SOS is a distress call. It's been said that it stands for Save Our Souls. Well, right now our world is in big trouble, and we're putting out an SOS call for help. Will you answer that call? St. Paul Street Evangelization.
Hey, Cy, quick question. Nonprofit. Well, will this be available? Can you send me a link for where this is available on podcast? My son will cut it up and use it for social media.
Visit streetevangelization.com to get involved.
This is Father Leo Paddlinghug, and why do we need Catholic radio?
If you let me know, if he can find it, it's not hard to find.
It's very real. Uses all forms of communication, and so
oh yeah, he can anything like that.
Understand,
yeah.
Our purpose in life, it's to make sure that we are not only proclaiming the good news, we're also
Ray
listening
at
to the good DRRAY.com.
With Catholic Radio. Ray at DrRay.com.
Needs EWTN Catholic Radio, now more than ever.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Dr. Ray Guarendi is our guest, and we are always delighted when he's here. And you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. We're talking about his new book, Drama-Free Discipline. And we only let him on the show when he writes a new book, so you can thank us for this. This is what got him here. He knew he had to write a book. To get back, Drama-Free Discipline, Dr. Ray coaches you to parenting success. I thought Candace started to talk about this, and I thought she was going to go there, but she didn't, and I realized there's a lot of parents who want help with this one. I just can't get them to go to bed. I got no complaints. They're wonderful kids. I can't get them to go to bed. Help me out with that one.
Bedtime bad times is one of the top preschool problems, along with temper tempests and meal ordeals. Bedtime bad times is horrible.
Temper tempests.
What
okay.
tends to happen is there's a lot of complications to it. I mean, the kids will say, I'm scared. They will cry. They'll come into your bedroom. They will call you 64 times. And typically, parents try to reassure them. They try to calm them down. They get frustrated. They put them back. Then... very simple. There's two ways to do this very easily. One, if you get up and you're out of your bed without permission, I'm going to stand you in the corner. And then I'll decide when you're ready to go back to bed. That's easy enough. If you don't want to do that, you simply say, and generally this, if it's a 2.5-year-old, that's kind of tough. Okay, with a 2.5-year-old, you got to make this stick different ways. But the older kids, 4, 5, 6, 7, I had a 14-year-old doing it. You say, if you get out of bed, after we say our prayers, after we cuddle, after we tell our story, if you get out of bed tomorrow, the first 5 things you ask for will be no. Mama, is it my juice cup? Oh, no, honey, I wanted to give you your juice cup, but you got out of bed last night. Mm-hmm. Mama, where's my book? I like that book. You know, honey, I was going to get you that book, but you don't have that book. You got out of bed last night. Where am I stuffed animal? Honey, I took your stuffed animal. You got out of bed last night. In other words, just gently reminding him, you're not allowed to get out of bed. Okay? Here's what we're going to do when you ask. Can I go outside? Oh, I wanted to let you go outside, but you got out of bed last night. No, you can't go outside. I'll tell you what, I have never seen even Candace's kid. The tough, even Darren's kid, the toughest kids. After about 3 days, they're staying in bed. And typically you get all kinds of things. Well, put a guardian angel picture up, leave a little light on, make sure that you sing prayers together. Yeah, all those things can work, but they don't work for the majority of bedtime, bad time resistors. They don't. If a kid's got into a habit of 1.5 years resisting bedtime, I don't care how much Superman dolls you buy. I don't care how much you put a guardian angel picture up there. It's not going to work. You got to establish that we're not going to go through this. We had 10 kids under 12 at one point, Cy. We had to stop the bedtime bad times. We had no choice.
Yeah.
It was terrible. We had to have set bedtimes for each age. And typically they knew if you resisted bedtime tomorrow, a lot of things are going to happen. Yeah. And because we didn't want to battle it. And typically it was over in a couple of tries.
Again, 888-318-7884. The number going up to Huntington Beach, California now. Joseph in Huntington Beach. Thank you for the call, Joseph. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Ray Guarendi.
Hello, guys. So my question is, what do I do when me and my wife disagree with how we discipline our kids? And how do I get okay with her being there and I'm being at work, not being able to discipline?
One of the things that helps there, Joe, is house rules. Get your wife to commit to what she sees as misbehavior. And these usually fall under several categories: disrespect, sibling quibbling, not listening, chore shirking, whatever it might be for that age child. Get your wife to agree on a house rule. What will we do when he mistreats a sibling? What will we do when our 14-year-old rolls her eyes at us? What will we do? What will you agree to do? Now, it may be that she says, well, I don't care if they roll their eyes. They're not cussing at us. They're not throwing a brick. I don't care. Well, at some point, you're going to have to say, okay, I don't want to make this a marriage problem. What things would be disrespect that she would agree to, that she'd commit to? And then hopefully. Now, the second thing is this. Ask her if she has a problem with your discipline or she has a problem with your style. Are you yelling too much? Mm-hmm. Are you too intimidating and that makes her ill at ease? Oh, you scare me. You just scare me when you yell like that. Okay? Remember, that's not discipline. Discipline is backing it up with a consequence. Most of the time, she might not be as ill at ease with a simple consequence. I asked you to do that and you didn't listen, so you can't go out today. Now, if she says, he didn't hear you. He didn't hear you. Okay, I'm not going to argue with you. All right, I'm not going to fight over this. But there will be enough times where it's very obvious that you can discipline with a consequence without getting harsh or loud or emotional or threatening. And that's typically what complicates the picture. But I will tell you this, Joseph. I am hearing more and more women tell me that they are the authorities in their home, that the guys are just go along, Disney dads, Mr. Oblivious, Mr. I was that way when I was a kid. I think I turned out pretty good. And the women are thinking, let's gather the relatives and vote. So what's happening is so many guys are kind of just leaving it up to the women to do this. And I think if you can have a nice, calm, confident style, she might not have as much resistance to you. You might have to compromise on a few things if she's permissive. But here's the irony, Joseph. This is in your favor. If she's permissive about a lot of behavior that you would consider misbehavior, she's going to get frustrated because she's not going to like the interaction the way the kids treat her. She's not going to like that. And then she gets frustrated. And then you have more of an opening.
Okay, Joseph.
Yeah, I hear you. It's just, the only thing is, we've kind of had that talk about boundaries, like, hey, what's okay, what's not okay. We agree that like certain things make me upset, make her upset. But the issue is, it seems like, from my point of view, she does whatever's convenient, especially because I'm around. It's like, oh, there's another adult here. I don't have to worry as much. I could just relax a little bit. And that automatically triggers me. And so like I'll give you an example.
Joe, let me cut you off there, buddy. You're not going to make her change her style. If her style is to become more lax because you're around, then you take over. I always said that the parent with the better discipline skills is the one who leads in discipline. So you respond to things and you think to yourself, well, she needs to take care of this. I mean, that happened right in front of her and she didn't do anything about it. Okay, you do something about it. A house rule that worked very much for us is that the parent that has the higher standard rules. I never ask the kids to leave the table when they burp the alphabet. I think burping the alphabet among boys all the way to the letter L on one breath is a talent you need to have. I really do. My wife did not agree with burping the alphabet at the table. Okay, so she rules. No burping the alphabet at the table. All right, I got that. So if you're noticing your wife is just kind of permissive about stuff and you're there and she basically gives you permission, if you will, to handle it, then handle it. don't expect her to have discipline skills that she's either lazy about or overlooking or sloppy with or inconsistent with, because that just creates, that's going to create marital problems.
Joseph, I'm thank you very much for the call. Dr. Ray Guarendi, our guest, we're talking about parenting, and his new book is Drama-Free Discipline. Dr. Ray coaches you to parenting success. This is not a like a textbook kind of book. This is like very practical, very actually, you were talking about scripts. Like, tell us about what you get when you look inside Drama-Free Discipline.
Anybody who's seen the TV show Living Right with Dr. Ray, they'll know that we have done segments where we have actors acting out common discipline scenarios. And one of them, to piggyback off of Joseph's call, is parents who disagree. What do you do in that situation? And I draw up the dialogue between the parents. And then I step in and make observations, make suggestions, try to talk them out of trouble, if you will. So the scripts are actual, very common, particular scenarios from age 3 all the way to age 18. A 13-year-old who constantly nags about a smartphone. A 7-year-old who is routinely disrespectful. A 17-year-old who can't understand why he can't drive yet. A 4-year-old who simply will not stand in the corner. He just won't. There's no way. You can't get him to stand in the corner. What do? I draw it out. One of the problems that you asked about, Cy, was bedtime bad times. Mm-hmm. There is a particular scenario for bedtime bad times in there because it's so common. So each of the ones that most parents will say, oh, yeah, I'm familiar with that one. Oh, yeah, that happens in our house. Oh, yeah, my wife and I don't agree. And that is one of the scenarios, by the way. Dad and mom are not agreeing on the way the kids were disciplined at grandma's house. And by the way, another scenario is, what do you do when a grandparent undercuts your discipline? Mm-hmm. That's one. That's one of the scenarios. What do you do when a kid negotiates? You brought it up. They start negotiating. I call it wordsmithing. They're malleable with these words. It's like, you didn't say exactly to be home at 5. You said be home around 5. Yeah, it's 5:30. Well, you know, okay, so here's what happened. And it just goes on and on and on and on. So I step into the scene.
Check it out, Drama-Free Discipline. Dr. Ray coaches you to parenting success. I get the strong sense, having known you for years now and read your writing and heard you talk, that it's not about fads for you. It seems to me like you have this view that these parenting techniques would have worked in the year 14 BC or the year 1500, or they'll work now. That, like the caller who asked about gentle parenting, I didn't know what your answer was going to be, but it seemed to me that every generation has a fad. And if you just don't fall for the fad of your generation and do the thing that has consistently worked in the past, you're much better off.
Wisdom of the ages, Cy.
Yeah.
We're chronological snobs. We look back on those people. Any grandparent listening to you right now probably has come across a daughter or daughter-in-law or son-in-law who looks at their parenting as old-fashioned. We're enlightened young parents now. So, Mom, don't give us any advice because yours was for an older day.
Yeah.
Past time.
Right.
And that's so unusual. In parenting generations now, most of human history, it was passed on from generation to generation. Only now have the experts taken over and ruled out so much of the wisdom of the ages.
You can get that wisdom of the ages in Drama-Free Discipline. I don't know if you're working on your next book, but I have a suggestion because my children are coming to marriageable age and they're looking like marriages might be in the future. Could you write something on how to undermine your children's parenting as a grandparent? I want to be good at that.
I'm a very strict parent with my or grandparent with my children. I say, and I'm very strict. I'm not permissive. I say, look, you finish that ice cream before I give you a fifth cookie.
Yes, that's great. Okay, good. This is the kind of wisdom I need before I start having grandkids. They're gonna come anytime now. I need that kind of advice. Dr. Ray Guarendi is our guest. Check him out, of course, on EWTN, EWTN Radio. the internet, the earth. He's all over the place. And do get the new book, Drama-Free Discipline. Dr. Ray coaches you to parenting success. Dr. Ray, it's always a great pleasure. Thank you for a great hour.
Well, Si, if they want a signed copy, go to drray.com. It's there.
Oh, do. Go to drray.com. Get yourself a signed copy. I recently missed my signed copy, but that's for another
day.
Yes,
you did.
I'll tell that story another time. We'll see you tomorrow, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.